B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
I just came here to help you rate it.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, here we go.
Body ball!
Ay.
I think I'll go for a walk outside now. The summer sun's calling my name.
Head flap.
I hear you now. I just can't stay inside all day.
No, sir.
I gotta get out, get me some of those rays. Everybody's smiling. Sunshine day. Everybody's laughing. Sunshine day.
Jimmy G coming
on. Everybody seems so happy today.
Italian and Paul's house.
It's a sunshine day.
I think I'll go for a walk.
All right, the aforementioned high-ranking member of the Patriots organization joins us now, Paul Perillo, via the Zoom, as has become the norm here. Hopefully, he's not pulling a Jeffrey Toobin on us.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Keep it in your pants.
I promise you that's not happening.
Keep it reined in there, Paulie, Paul.
Listen, we lost a couple in a row, but it's not that bad.
Where do you want to start? Do you want to weigh in on our Gilmore rumor? Do you want to weigh in on Jimmy Garoppolo? I don't know if you can see Maz, but he's finally whipped it out in his own fashion.
Oh, Jesus.
You want to weigh in on our Garoppolo conversation? How should the Pats be feeling right now with Garoppolo coming in? Do you think they regret it?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting topic you guys had. I know you started it yesterday a little bit with, you know, the whole thing, you know, with regret. And, you know, it's an interesting conversation. You know, do you sacrifice one title, you know, for the comfort of having your quarterback for 10 years? Now, I don't think it's that easy. I think it's a difficult one. And certainly Brady in 2017, the way he was playing at that time, I would have stuck with Brady, no question. With hindsight, you know, I think Brady's, you know, finally started to show the signs of decline, and you would have had a guy for 10 years. So, you know, you could see both sides of that. I love the trade deadline talk, though, guys. I think that's a fascinating one. And all we've talked about for the last 2 or 3 weeks is finding some weapons for this offense. And they got to be aggressive at the trade deadline. And, you know, here we are at 2-3 with a couple of difficult games on tap. You know, I think that can flip on a dime. And suddenly you're looking to sell off your assets and see if you can set yourself up for the future.
Paul, I'm not letting you off that easy, pal. Sorry, you got to pick a side. Knowing what you know now today, would you have kept Garoppolo?
No, I would have stuck with Brady.
Oh my God,
that's right, Paul.
I don't know why you get so mad.
The right side of history.
I've been very consistent on this. I do not ever want to be on the side that I pulled the plug on the greatest quarterbacks era of all time.
Okay, so Paul,
I don't
listen,
ever want to be on that side.
I get that. Here's the one I can't get past. In the fall of 17. When they traded Garoppolo, Brady wanted Garoppolo out. Okay. In the spring of 18, 6 months later, based on the book by Jeff Benedict, The Dynasty, which we believe to be true. I mean, the Patriots sent the book out to their season ticket holders.
It's Crafts, right?
Okay. Yeah. So it's, there's got to be a lot of truth in there. That book says that Brady went to Crafts 6 months after the Garoppolo trade and said he wanted out. So looking at that, can't you say, well, don't you think Kraft looks at that, Paul, and says, if I had known that, I'd have kept Garoppolo?
Yeah, I mean, that's a different argument. Like, and I agree with you on that. That's why, and there was a caller when I was driving home that sort of was doing some of that kind of stuff too, moving things around. Like, it's Brady for 2 years and, you know, as opposed to 4 or 5 years. And I don't think at the time you could have thought that Brady was definitively going to want out after the 17th season when you made that choice. Is that right?
Well, I mean,
that he wanted out?
To me, the second guess, the second guess I think is hard to argue is that they didn't get enough in return. You know, that they
I would never argue that. They gave him away.
You know, no, they wouldn't even take Cleveland's call. Like that to me is unforgivable. But the other one is you could have waited to the offseason.
Yep.
You know, there was no real urgency there to trade him at the trade deadline. He was on a cheap rookie contract. You would have had a reliable backup there, and then you could have dealt with it in the offseason. If you're only willing to take a second round pick, the second round pick probably would have been there if you had traded him in the offseason. You know, even if you had tagged him, you wouldn't have to pay him on the tag. You just tag him to trade him. And, you know, for crying out loud, didn't Matt Cassel get a second round pick when you traded him?
They tagged Cassel.
The second round pick still would have been there in the offseason. And there was something there where it was like, you know what, Tommy's, itchy about this or unhappy with this, the sooner the better. And so Bill felt that urgency to do it. And if you just let it play out, now Brady comes into Kraft's office and says, you know, and Giselle says, effing Johnny Foxborough, and they want out. It's like, well, now you have a now maybe it just ends up differently. I mean, that's all.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any argument with I wouldn't have traded him at the deadline. I would have traded him before that draft. I think he could have gotten a much larger return at the time. You know, the whole time we were, you know, Adam Schefter, not for first round picks, you know. Let me repeat, you know, like the arrogant way that he said that, that turned out to be a load of crap.
Do you think the Patriots?
Because they ended up dealing him for a second round pick. I don't have any explanation or any argument suggesting that trading him at the deadline for the second round pick was the right way to go. No one will ever convince me of that.
Do you think they're in trouble right now at the quarterback position overall?
Yeah, I do. I don't like the signs that I've seen from Cam the last couple of weeks. You know, this goes back to the Raiders game. I know there's been a lot of emphasis on practice this week. And I don't think that is irrelevant. I think that they looked rusty the other day. They showed signs of not really having worked a lot together. And, you know, and coupled with all of those things was the fact that Cam is coming back off of, you know, being out with COVID for an extended time. So I don't like the way this offense looks when the running game is not generating at a high level. Early in that Raiders game, Las Vegas was doing a really good job of containing the running game, and they were keeping Cam in the pocket. They couldn't throw it anywhere, right? He didn't look good in that
right.
Raiders game
either. That's right.
Now, Denver shut down the run for the whole game, and they kept the offense in check as a result, really, for the entire way. I just don't know where they go if Cam can't be the centerpiece of the offense in the ground game as well. I don't know where they turn.
And I also think, you know, again, just this ties in with the Garoppolo thing and, you know, where you are at the position. You know, for Newton to be the answer, you have to thread the needle, meaning he's got to play really well and fit in. And, you know, you have to be confident in him that he's the guy for the next 3-5 years, whatever you want to say that time frame is. So he has to play really well and earn your trust. But if he plays really well, he's going to want a big number. You know, you're either going to have to franchise him at 30 plus, and who knows how he's going to feel about that, or you've got to give him that kind of contract because that's what he's going to get on the open market, or that's what he's going to think he deserves. So he's got to play well, earn your trust, and accept a, you know, a below market deal to come back on multiple years. That's sort of threading the needle.
Yeah, that's hard. And in the second part of your question, I would go the other way. I would go Garoppolo. Like right now, would they be better served if they had Jimmy or Cam Newton? And I would submit that, you know, from a pure talent perspective, Cam Newton is probably more talented, but I'd take Jimmy. I think he more replicates what the Patriots want to do on offense. And so, you do have that very small window that showed you it worked. It worked with Jimmy. Now, I don't know if he'd be working with Jimmy with this cast of characters, but when they had the pieces that they had in 2016, you know, that first half against that Miami game was special. I mean, he was absolutely lighting up the Dolphins that day before he got hurt. So I would take Jimmy over Cam.
So this would also be a different conversation if Stidham was showing any signs of life.
It's a big part of it.
You know, if Newton was playing, but Stidham was the backup from day one and had a strong camp and, you know, challenged and looked like he was still on the come, as they say, you know, then you'd look at this differently. Like, okay, Bill can just reload. He can just pick anybody. And, you know, he doesn't need to trade up in the first round to get his guy. He can find his guy in the lower rounds. And no, right. They lost Garoppolo, but they've reloaded with another guy. But with the way it's looked with Stidham, like this is, so that changes the conversation too, Paulie.
Yeah. And back to your thread the needle conversation with Cam, you know, I would hate to go through a season where you go 7-9, 8-8, something like that with Cam. And then you don't learn anything more about Jarrett Stidham. And then you're sort of, you know, back in the same spot next year. And here's the question I'll throw out. You guys can use this the rest of the week to fill your time.
I like it. Facilitation.
What happens if they lose, you know, let's say if they lose to San Francisco and Buffalo, certainly not out of the realm of possibility. What I think are going to be two difficult games, 2-5. Do you pull the plug on Cam and just say, hey, Stidham, you're going to play?
Yeah, I think you're in sell mode if that happens.
Okay, well,
but sell mode is one thing. We can get back to Gilmore and Joe Tooth, but do you make a quarterback change?
Right.
Because you need to find out
yes.
if Stidham can play.
Right.
Yes. Yeah, when I say sell mode, I think that you are in, like, we're going to, you know, we're going to start building for 2021.
Which means play the young quarterback and see what you got.
Yep.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff at play that we've never really had to, you know, it's been 20 years since we had to worry about any of these kinds of things.
Well, damn it, let's worry about it. And let's get your thoughts on our Gilmore stuff, Gilmore rumors. It all ties into the trade deadline. Coming right back with Pauly Paul after this.
Sports, Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
You can listen to Felger and Mass on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Good morning, Bill. N'Keal Harry has played quite a bit through the first five games. I think actually more than he did all of his rookie year. What have you seen from him in the way he's taken advantage of the expanded opportunity that he's had this year?
Yeah, well, I mean, as a team, we need more time on a practice field than we've had recently. So hopefully, we'll start getting that this week, and that'll be good for all of us. I think we all need to, you know, work on fundamentals and awareness and anticipation and things like that. So, you know, it's true of every position, but obviously, in a passing game, quarterbacks, receivers, backs, tight ends, you know, there's a lot of that. And we need it on defense as well, defensive recognition. So, you know, that's something that we're, I would say, all maybe not starting all over, but we need a lot of work on that. So, you know, I think we've made some gains, but we need to do more on the field, and hopefully we'll be able to do that this week. So that's N'Keal, and you know, that's everybody. You know, he's way ahead of where he was last year because he's been on the field and he's been practicing. And you know, there was a point in time where, you know, we had strung together a lot of quality reps. We need to do that again.
Yeah, as Belichick today, the answer stood out to me for one reason, but it stood out to you for what, Maz?
Well, for me, it's for a couple, but one is that he was asked about N'Keal Harry, and we're right back to the practice thing. Like, so he's still playing that angle.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Of you know, well, we need to practice. The other is he hates his team. I think he did. When I say he hates his team, I think he looks at his team and says, we suck, and he can blame it on practice. Maybe he believes that, and I'm not saying he's wrong, but I think he looks at his team, and Harry is what triggered it, and he says, you know, because he mentions him at the end, Harry's got he's part of that group. I think he looks at him and say, we suck.
Yeah, I still don't, and Paul, you really think 2-5 should be viewed as like the end of the season? Because I don't. If you look at that schedule, I think like their last seven games are winnable. You still get the Jets a couple of times. You get Miami again. Like, they could still get in at 9-7, I feel like.
Yeah, but is that what you want if you're Bill Belichick? Or, you know, would you be better served not getting in, getting some, you know, stockpiling some assets for the future and figuring out where you are going forward? Getting some more young players that you can continue to work with. And, you know, kind of ties into this practice thing. I do think that Bill is a little frustrated because we know how much he feels like the need to develop his players, right? You know, I have these guys, I need to get on the field and work with them. And he hasn't been able to do that as often as he'd like. So whenever he's not able to do what he wants, there's frustration. And it's definitely showing up in his comments. I agree with you guys. Yesterday, even with the talks about, you know, do you anticipate a normal week of practice? We're day by day. Mm-hmm. Why not, you know, like just get back to your normal routine. You know, just try to get back to normal here. But I think he's so frustrated that he's having a hard time doing that.
Well, what did you hear?
So what I heard is that he was bringing Cam Newton there as well, because the problems with Harry or the passing game were both the quarterback and the receivers and the anticipation and timing. And, you know, there were plays to be made there in the passing game. And either the receiver ran the wrong way or Newton didn't see it or couldn't pull the trigger or held the ball or something. And the more that you watch the clips and sort of go back and watch it, like, just go to the last series.
He used the word anticipation.
So, and I think that's what he's talking about. And he's talking about, like, there were some layup plays. Like, that last 4th and 10, I know it's 4th and 10. That was kind of a layup play for them.
He was open.
I think Harry went the wrong way. After watching our NBC Sports Boston show with Ted Johnson on Mondays, I can't remember what we call it, Monday Night Patriots, whatever.
good plug,
Doug. No, I mean, it's a good show. Watch it. It is. It's Monday nights. It's Phil Perry and Ted Johnson. They break down film. I just can't remember the exact name. But watch it. It's good. Harry, I think, went the wrong way. The defensive back was playing an inside leverage.
He had inside leverage, absolutely.
Pretty obviously playing inside leverage, and Harry should have gone out, and that's where Newton threw the ball. But Newton still rushed the throw, and he still rushed the snap. I mean, the blitz came from deep center field. Like, those guys were coming in from the lighthouse. And as Bedard was pointing out yesterday, there were still 12 seconds on the play clock, so you easily could have paused the snap count. You know, had those guys show their hand, disrupt their rhythm, even call an audible. And, you know, there were only three defensive backs on the play. It was kind of a layup. As with Tom Brady, it's a layup. You recognize it. You disrupt their timing with the snap count. You call a quick audible. You get the ball out quick, and it's there. But even with rushing the throw, if Harry had gone the right way or Newton had paused just a second, the play was there, and they weren't even close. And I think that's what Bill's talking about. He doesn't want to talk about an individual receiver or quarterback because the whole thing was a mess on Sunday, Paul.
Yeah, no, I agree with that wholeheartedly. And, you know, and I know there were some plays that were missed. And the one that really sticks out to me was the deep ball to Damier Byrd. And the reason why that stuck out to me so much is because I saw that play at least a half a dozen times in training camp, and they never completed it then either. You know, it didn't matter who the quarterback was, by the way. Byrd, you know, he kind of grows on me a little bit. I don't think that he is a star by any means, but as a complimentary piece, he finds a way to get open more often than not. And that was an opportunity, you know, with one play they could have made up for 48 minutes, you know, whatever, you know, for 58 minutes of ineptitude with one throw and catch. They could have stolen a game, and he didn't even come close. He underthrew him badly.
Okay, so they need receivers. They need defensive help in the front seven. Okay, do you add the trade deadline motivation, Paul? Is it to add to this team and see what they can do, or is it future assets and next year's draft and that piece? And do you think Gilmore's a part of all this?
Yeah, if you're asking me, to me, it's looking ahead because I don't see this team as being a threat for anything other than squeaking in the playoffs as the AFC East champ. And I'm not telling you that that's irrelevant. I'm not telling you that that means nothing and all that. I mean, I'm not that spoiled. I'm not that jaded. I don't feel like this team adding a piece or two is going to become a contender in the AFC. I think the AFC is stacked. I think there are three or four teams that I really wouldn't like the Patriots' chances against: Kansas City, Baltimore, Tennessee, Pittsburgh. I'm not telling you they can't win a game against one of those teams. They can. But I don't think they would beat
run the table
one of them.
Yeah.
And I don't think that they would beat them with the money on the table on the road either. So for me, it would be about looking ahead. If I could get a first round pick for Gilmore, and you know, the one thing, and I did hear you guys talking a little bit, Jamal Adams, Jalen Ramsey, they're both 25 years old. Gilmore's 30. I would settle for one first round pick if they could get it. Absolutely.
Let me give you one, because Jimmy Stewart's phone said Chicago's interested. Stephon Gilmore for a first and Mitch Trubisky.
Ugh. No, I don't want any part of Trubisky. Can we take him out?
Okay, why?
Make it two ones.
Okay, so like,
why do you love bad quarterbacks? Why do you love bad football?
No, Jim, you don't understand this because Belichick can just make anybody a star.
They
just think it's all Belichick. Kyle Shanahan doesn't know what he's doing with Jimmy Garoppolo, but if Bill gets him, he becomes a star.
Just wave a wand; he'll turn every quarterback into the next Joe Montana or next Tom Brady. Why wasn't he able to do that with Brian Hoyer? Why couldn't he do that with Ryan Mallett?
So now you guys have jumped on me pretty hard right there. It's a project. It's a throw-in. It's like, the guy.
This is when facilitating goes too far.
when facilitation goes wrong. The guy's got a lot of raw ability, and you'd get him on the cheap, and it'd be a project.
Like, even when he looks good, he doesn't even look good. The kid stinks. It was a reach by Chicago. They screwed it up. They could have got Watson. They could have got Mahomes. They got this suckbag. No thanks.
I'd rather have Garoppolo.
But it's like, I mean, he was just drafted in the top five a couple of years ago. A lot of raw ability, and it's like, you know, it's...
Yeah, I mean, for you,
the this is where you're at. I wouldn't
kill a move like that the way you describe it. If you get him for nothing,
right?
Because I don't think he's going to command anything on the market. He's going to sign one of those Jameis Winston or Andy Dalton deals, where
right?
He's getting a couple of million dollars to be someone's backup and maybe compete for a job somewhere. So I don't think there's anything to be lost there.
I mean, I'm not saying that he becomes the guy. I'm saying you have nothing and you have no plan. So it's time to cast a wide net and see if he can catch a lightning in a bottle somewhere. I mean, that's
now,
what
I would like. It, if you're going to trade Gilmore for the one, I would like it to be a team that's probably not going to be a playoff team. Right now, it looks like Chicago's 5-1.
Yeah,
I'd like it to be a top half of the first round pick, if possible. But yeah, I'd take a one for Gilmore if I had to.
Yep. I'll tell you what. The more I think about it, I could see Belichick trying to justify it and moving Gilmore either way, whether they win or lose this week. Like I could see him totally cutting bait right now if he got what he wanted and saying, "Look, we got plenty of defensive backs."
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's out of the realm, and I would put Joe Tooney in a similar kind of category.
Oh, what do you know?
I don't know anything. You guys know that, even though you call me a high-ranking member of the organization. Nothing could be further from the truth, and you guys know it.
So, Paul, is it true
Joe Tooney's a guy. He's on the franchise tag. You're going to get a third-round pick when he walks after the year. I would trade him for a third-round pick now. I mean, you get the third-round pick a year earlier if you trade him now.
So, Paul, to ask a Jim Murray kind of question, is it true that you think Tooney sucks?
You have to set it up better than that. But
your whole tone is that you're giving up on this season, which I don't like.
My tone is twofold with the offensive line is – you know, Maz makes a good point. Like, you can afford to give up Gilmore, and it's not really going to kill you for this season if you win and you're still in it. I really like the draft picks. I like Michael Owenu, and I like Justin Heron. So I can plug those guys in. I'll plug Owenu in at left guard right now, and I don't think the offensive line is that much different. Now, the thing that is risky about that is you've dealt with some absences on that offensive line. This would be contingent upon that group staying healthy the second half of the year. But when Owenu, Andrews, Mason, and, you know, Heron at right tack, I don't hate that offensive line.
I look forward to reading the headline on Patriots.com. Perillo punts on season.
Reloads. Yep. Pats reload.
Perillo, reload. Belichick's an idiot.
You guys don't understand how to rebuild dynasties.
Here's
me and Bill. Here's, me and Bill, we're on the same wavelength.
Here's Murray's update and then your calls, I promise.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Sits down with Zoe for his exclusive game day interview all season long.
Big win against the Eagles.
Everybody did a good job.
Now back to Felger and Mads. Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And now, Felger and Mads present another motivational Super Bowl text from Bill Belichick to Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yo, fam. High key. Thought you killed it last night. 5 exclamation points. Fire emoji. Hard eyes emoji. Poised and professional. And you looking Gucci. Football emoji. Devil emoji. Got me finna watch your first game versus Cardinals and get all the feels. Eggplant emoji. Water emoji. Send.
Wonder if they're texting before this week's game. All right, to your phones. I've been waiting very patiently. Thank you for hanging on. James in Boston. What do you got for us, James? Go ahead. James? Hey. Yeah, like I said, I've been hanging for an hour or so I understand, but we're taking calls now, so you can wake up or come to the phone or whatever the case may be. Sean in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, I want to make 2 points about why Belichick would be better off with Jimmy Garoppolo. Number one, he likes the scheme. So he can play chess with Garoppolo, where all he can do is play checkers with Belichick. And secondly, think of this narrative, Mike.
Yep.
If he wins with Garoppolo, he has taken a no-name second-round pick and a no-name sixth-round pick and made them, quote, quarterbacks, Super Bowl stars, and that becomes the story. Think about that.
Yeah, well, I think that appeals to Bill.
No question.
I mean, but I don't think it's a singular motivation why he wanted to move on from Brady. I think he just felt,
for the same reason he moved on for anybody else.
Yeah, it's just be a year early versus a year late, and you don't want to get in trouble hanging on to old players because of name value or anything like that, even like Brady. I think that's his prime motivation. He's not, he didn't blow Brady out of here just because he wants to win with somebody else. It's sort of like a side benefit that I think any sort of competitive person would feel that, it's not him, it's me, and I think Bill has that tug like any human being probably would.
I mean, if you look at it.
Brady has the same feeling.
Yeah, independent of position, Belichick's approach with players on his roster has been remarkably consistent. There's very few guys that he's sort of like just piled the money on the table and said, okay, you're here till the end.
Paul, how do you feel about Garoppolo in San Francisco? And, do you think he's gotten better there or worse there or has changed in any way there?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting question. I think that he is, I think he has matured there. I think he is a big, he's a big part of what they do. I thought it was interesting the other night when Collinsworth was talking about that run that he had late in the game where he could have,
taken
a slide and he lowered his shoulder. And, I looked at that twofold. One, as it was happening live, I was thinking to myself, boy, this guy's never going to learn. He consistently puts himself in situations where he exposes himself to a hit that he doesn't have to. And then Collinsworth sort of goes through and, explains the benefits of what he did there in his locker room. And I do, I do think he has that team. And when the backups played and you saw how much worse it was, I think that, that sort of looked for Jimmy like, well, maybe it's not just about handing off and doing all that stuff. Maybe there are some other things that he does. I think they're at times a little bit too conservative with him.
Yes.
But I do think the other night was all about his health. I think that game plan was strictly related to the ankle, and they wanted to make sure that they made everything easy for him so he didn't have to push the ball downfield. If that's the case again this week, I think they're going to be in trouble.
The Niners are going to be in trouble.
Yes.
Okay. Because
I don't think you could beat the Patriots doing everything at the line of scrimmage the way they did to the Rams the other night.
I think it's a good
especially without Mostert.
I think this is a good matchup for the Patriots because I think that Bill will devote bodies to the running game and Kittle, which is going to...
Well, if it was Mostert, I don't care how many bodies he devotes. He doesn't have the bodies to devote, but he can shut down Jerick McKinnon and Jermichael, whatever his name is.
Yeah, and my only point is if you commit the bodies to do that, what it's going to do is put your defensive backs on an island. And I think the Patriots...
Right. And if Jimmy can't push the ball downfield because of the ankle, and he certainly couldn't do that the last two games, I don't know how much peril you're in by doing that. And the Patriots secondary should be able to one-on-one match up with those guys, certainly other than Kittle.
Well, that's my point, Paul. I think the Patriots DBs are better than the Niners receivers.
Yeah.
Patriots win that matchup.
I think if Jimmy were healthy, I think this would be, if the Niners were healthy, you'd think I have a sort of an ominous tone right now. If the Niners were healthy in this game, I don't think the Patriots would win.
Okay.
But I think the Niners injuries are going to give the Patriots a really good opportunity to get back on the winning track.
I do have a developing opinion, though, about Garoppolo there. For all of my Garoppolo talk and all of this, I don't love the way he looks there. And I haven't loved the way that he has looked there for a while. And I mean just like purely technical, mechanic-wise. He's flat-footed. How often do you see him just flat-footed? Was he that flat-footed here? You know what I'm talking about, Perlo?
Yeah, I do, and I would have to go back and look. I did find it striking that split screen they showed of him throwing a pass before the injury and then throwing one. That was striking.
But I'm not even talking about
that. Off. But yeah, I understand what you're talking about. I talked about this with Newton, too, how he sort of – Cam throws with his hips wide open. And your flat-footed thing is – it's not the same, but it's kind of similar with Jimmy. And I don't think that he's looked great physically the last couple of times I saw him. But I go back to last year, late in the year, that game at Seattle last year, he was nails on the road in Seattle to knock down that get the first round bye. That was the key to their Super Bowl run. They lose that game and they're probably the 5 seed or wherever it was, and they go home early. But I thought he looked great. I haven't seen him look like that since.
Well, he's had a bunch of good games, but I just look at him and I think they're too protective of him. There, I think they manage him too hard. There, I think it's too they're just too cautious with him, and there's just something mechanically. Last year, I thought it was about the ACL, and he had just sort of overcompensated on something, but I feel like he's flat-footed and sort of wooden, where here I thought he sort of bounced around like Aaron Rodgers. He was really light on his feet, and I'm not saying he's Aaron Rodgers,
right,
but he was just a little more free and easy. And there I feel like he's very wooden, flat-footed, upright in these constraints of this offense. I don't think they've done him any favors. I really don't.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily the offense, though. I mean, I think that listen, Shanahan wants to run the ball, but I mean, like that, I think back to that first game that he played for the Patriots. I mean, they did the same thing. I mean, they ran the ball all night, even though they didn't have any success doing it. He made a couple of throws for them, and they were able to squeak by, and the Cardinals missed a field goal. They won. It wasn't like that the next week against Miami.
Right.
You know, it was bombs. So he was throwing the ball all over the place.
Red,
just like Brady used to do. So there is a dichotomy there, I think, between what Shanahan wants to do running the ball and maybe what's best for Garoppolo.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts. Long commercial-free segment next with Pauly Paul.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
You listen sometimes because you agree.
I agree with Matt.
Sometimes, because deep down, you like the pain.
Pulling each other's shirts off and licking each other's faces.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jimmy G has shown again who he is. He's a smart, competent quarterback who does not have the talent to be elite.
Okay.
But the same way Tom Brady gets credit for 170 yards, two touchdowns, and no interceptions at this point in his career, being a smart game manager, gets rid of the ball quick and be big on third down. That's what Jimmy G is.
Really?
That's why Bill Belichick decided to move on from Tom Brady.
I mean, that's some haterism.
The reason he decided to move on from Tom Brady
is not that
Jimmy G is better than Tom Brady. It's that at this point in his career, Belichick looked at Brady and what he could do, looked at Garoppolo and what he could do. He said, it's about the same, only this guy's really young, and I could have him forever and have a smooth transition. That's why he wanted to move on. That's why Shanahan looked at Jimmy G and said, yeah, I want this guy. Remember what happened.
Wouldn't have anything to do with that. All you need to give up was a second-round pick.
But that couldn't win, the Niners, picked up Jimmy G, and suddenly they went undefeated. They couldn't lose. They won like five straight games. Then he got hurt. And what did they do? They lost every game the following season.
It's like
and
that,
then he came back.
What's happening with Dak Prescott
They
right
were
now.
4-12 without him. And then he came back, and they won almost every game. 13-3. Exactly reversed their fortune.
When he came back.
And then.
Did they win that game when he threw for 77 yards?
And then, I'm talking about the last several seasons.
Okay.
And then he took his team to the Super Bowl. Took them. Oh, he rode the team to the Super Bowl. When Tom Brady rides a defense and a running game to the Super Bowl, as he did against the Rams, it's Tom Brady won the Super Bowl. When Jimmy G has a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl, and it takes Patrick Mahomes dropping 15 steps and throwing a 60-yard bomb to beat him, now all of a sudden Jimmy G's no good.
Getting some national reaction to our Garoppolo conversation, which we'll reset here in a second. I want to ask Paul and Maz, is the last 10 minutes of the Super Bowl or fourth quarter, you know, fourth quarter call it, being held against Garoppolo fair or unfair?
It's fair. It's fair.
Yeah,
look,
I think it's fair
go ahead,
too.
Paul. You go.
No, I think I'm in agreement with you. I think that he had opportunities to make the plays. You know, a lot of people talk about Tom Brady. Well, he did this, he did that, but you can always point to the throw that he makes when he has to make it. That's what made Tom Brady Tom Brady. It wasn't because he played great the entire game in Kansas City, but what did he do on 3rd and 10 every time in overtime? He made the throw. And he doesn't miss Emmanuel Sanders on that play. I'm convinced of it. And, you know, is it unfair to boil it down to the last 10 minutes? Maybe a little bit. But if you want to be a champion and you want to be considered an elite, he's 23-7 in his career, right?
Yep.
Jimmy G?
Yep.
You got to find a way to win that game. And he had it right there.
I mean, this is life in the NFL.
And he'll never have that chance again.
Well, he might not, Murray. You might be right.
No, but if he comes back here, he will.
But this is life in the NFL.
Not for a while.
For, you know, 3 minutes to go, 2 minutes to go, 5 minutes to go, whatever. Money on the table. Can you make the play?
It's fair. final exam.
Yeah,
I talk about it a lot.
Yep.
That's why we count Super Bowls. When you're at that level, you know, though, that sort of guy, it's the NBA is the same thing. It's like, there's your final exam. How do you do on the final exam? And if you fail the final exam, it's held against you, and it should be, and so it's fair. It is fair. Garoppolo had it. Not just that long ball to Manny Sanders, but he had the ball a couple different times and, you know, couldn't pull it out. And generally, he's been pretty good in that spot in his career. He's got some great numbers in the fourth quarter and great track record in that, you know, and that was – and so, you know, the Niners should have felt okay with him there because he'd come through in that spot all year, and he didn't there. But it should be held against him, and it is. It is.
I mean, you know how I feel about Garoppolo overall. I think he's a good player. And again, is he like a great player? I don't know. Probably not. But a good player with a great coach, you can win with that. But the end of the game is what it is. I mean, that thing left a mark.
Okay, Paul, on this week, you think Mostert being out's a big factor here, huh?
Yeah, and they have some issues in the offensive line. Garland, the center, is out. Trent Williams, I don't think, practiced today. He's dealing with an ankle problem. He's going to be questionable if he goes. That's what they want to do. They want to establish that run and then throw off of that. You got to think Belichick is going to do everything he can to neutralize George Kittle. I mean, after the testimonials on Monday, to then watch George Kittle go out and catch 8 for 120 would be really surprising. So I think they take that away. And if they can't run, I'm not sure exactly where they turn. Now, it'll be interesting to see how Deebo Samuel and, you know, their rookie wide receiver, Brandon Ayuk, the way they use them as runners. Maybe that tries to augment the fact that they're missing, you know, their horse in the backfield, because I don't know if they have enough. Now, you can run on the Patriots. We've seen that. You can run on the Patriots, but with all of the injuries they have, and then the other side of the ball, it's ridiculous the amount of injuries they've had. Their entire defensive line's out. Their secondary's been out. So I think there's opportunities here. I think the Patriots have San Francisco in a good spot, coming across the country all banged up.
Okay, and just Patriots in a vacuum, I'd be surprised if they don't bounce back. I'd be really frightened if they don't bounce back.
Well, especially, you know, and I know it's early still, but they are on the practice field.
And they're in pads and, like, yes. So get that whole thing out of their system. Quit obsessing over the COVID. You're on the field. Your season's in the balance. They're coming all the way out here. It's like, if they don't bounce back from this, then I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure what you're looking at.
I mean, they better hope they don't have any more positive tests. Like, that should scare the crap out of you right now.
There's a big part of this that's, you know, just the personnel. I mean, I know it. People don't want to admit it. They keep saying, well, the Patriots will bounce back. Like, this is the regular Patriots. It's not. It's not.
Well,
they're not. They can't just flip a switch. They don't have that. You know, I heard you guys talking about Denver in particular, and I know I'm running to the end here.
That's right.
You know, Denver was, you know, they still should have beaten Denver. Yeah. I was right. I thought they were going to blow Denver out. But I thought they were going to blow them out because they would overwhelm a young quarterback into a boatload of early mistakes. I figured they would turn the ball over 3 times in the first quarter and a half. They'd get a 2 or 3 score lead and the game would be a rocking chair blowout. But that didn't. And then you go down position for position, starting offense, starting defense. You tell me how many guys that you would take the Patriots with. I was kind of stunned when you guys were talking about they still should have had enough talent. I'll take Philip Lindsay over Damian Harris.
Okay, so I don't care about
the
running backs.
I'll take Jerry Jeudy and Tim Patrick over N'Keal Harry and whatever Julian Edelman is right now. The offensive line for the Patriots is very good, but none of those guys really played. So what they played with, I'll take the Broncos' offensive line. Tight end, I don't even think we have to talk about. So basically, you're talking about the quarterback was better than their quarterback, and he didn't play well.
Oh, so you got
defense, it's basically the same thing.
5-11, huh?
I'll take Gilmore, and you know, I'll take the secondary. I'll take Jonathan Jones and Gilmore and those guys, but would you rather have Bradley Chubb or John Simon?
Well, no. I mean, that's fair. I just view Denver. Maybe you know their person. You do know their personal better than I do. I thought Denver's a bottom feeder.
I did too. I'm not trying to tell you. This is all in 2020 hindsight. I was completely wrong. This was about as wrong as I've been about a game in a long time. I was stunned. I thought the Patriots would win this game easy. I thought Denver sucked. I was wrong. Denver played a pretty good game until they completely melted down in the fourth quarter. They played a good game. I think, you know what happened? I think that they were pretty upset for the last couple of weeks, and they put a good effort forward.
I'll tell you that if they can get a coach, that quarterback's got a chance. He's got a chance. I'm not telling you he's great, but there's something there. He's got some ability.
Okay, Paul, thanks. Go ahead. Final thought?
No, I was just going to say, Tony, it reminded me of your Phil Mickelson. Don't hit the ball out the hospitality tent. just don't drop back on first and 10 with 3 minutes left.
Oh, what a jackass.
All right.
I agree. Fangio should not only should be fired, he should be suspended from the league.
I wouldn't have
history.
Let him on the plane to get home. I would say, I don't want you looking at my players on the way home.
Banned get from out. Football. Banned. I like Mike's idea earlier in the week.
No, fire him from not just Denver, fire him from the league.
Yeah, you should get the Pete Rose treatment. You're out.
Paul, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
All right, boys.
Okay, that's Paul Prill. Catch him on Patriots.com, also known as Sunshine.com. Our cup runneth over with Jimmy Garoppolo facilitation. We'll reset it all right after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.